What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Little people, big people, all people, what's happening? If you hear the sound of my voice, that means you are listening to another episode of Buffed Up Sports, available on all major podcasting platforms. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot for you today, actually. I didn't think we had this much, but I actually do got a lot to say. You know, looking over my show notes and everything, you know, I like to come a little bit prepared, you know what I'm saying? You know, have everything together. Even though y'all know how I do, sometimes I get the just going and I can't stop, you know? I'm on my P. Diddy mode. Can't stop, won't stop. Take that. So, let me stop wasting your time. Let's get to it. Red Wings. Yes, I'm still working on getting into hockey, and yes, I have been making progress. I be having the notifications, you know, the ESPN notifications, so I know when the game start, I know when a point is scored, I know when it's a close game. That's typically where I tune in at, when it's a close game and I see the score is tight, and I usually check it out from that point. Also, a good chunk of Red Wings games I've watched, they ended on a sudden death goal or a shootout or something of that nature. And that's honestly made the experience more enjoyable for me, because it's like, with the Red Wings win, I'll be pumped. And there's nothing like a Red Wings win. Like, honestly, I don't know what it is about them. In fact, the other night, the last Red Wings game I watched was against the Ducks. Overtime victory for the Wings. Like, and I tweeted, I said, man, there ain't nothing like a Red Wings win. So I'm gonna keep working on the hockey thing. I promise. Continuing on the Red Wings, gotta throw a shout out to the captain, the hometown kid, Dylan Larkin, who is actually like one of two or three Red Wings players I know. But he's gonna be in the All-Star game. I'm not at the point of watching hockey where I could turn the All-Star game on. I'm not at that level yet. We working there. I promise y'all, the more Buffed Up Sports grows, I will get into hockey more. Yes, I have been checking out some Red Wings games. Moving on to boxing, this weekend we got Keith Thurman, the former champion, going against Marcos Barrios. And Keith Thurman, to me, has not looked impressive in his last two fights. Then you got Marcos Barrios, who did lose to Tank Davis in his last fight. But he looked impressive to me. It's like, you're going to lose to somebody, Tank the guy to lose to. This is my thing with Thurman. He took a long hiatus, I believe, due to injury. And then just COVID got in the way as well, I believe. So he took a little hiatus from the sport. And boxing is one of those sports where, one, once you lose, your confidence is gone. And two, if you are away for a long period of time, just like any sport, it's going to be hard to come back. And Thurman is dealing with both of those. He's had the hiatus. So this is like his third fight since his hiatus. I've seen that ring rust in the last two. And he's going against a guy who I'm scared is going to beat him. And this is coming from a guy who used to be a Keith Thurman fan. Like, Keith Thurman at one point was one of my favorite boxers. But like, he's fell off. He's just not the top guy in his division anymore, which is sad, because he beat Sean Porter, for crying out loud. Danny Garcia, like, he was taking out names, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like he was fighting, you know, scrubs. He was taking out some nice names. Point is, he was beating people with respect and credibility to their name. So the fact that I don't know who he is anymore is kind of like, this is crazy to me. So I hope he wins to get his career back together. But this just goes back to my point. People in boxing don't know when to let it go. And just like I said, with any sport, you go away for a while, it's hard to come back. And if you overstay your welcome, it's hard to stay relevant. And I feel like boxing is the hardest sport to do that with. And it's just, I'm scared for Thurman. I am. Moving on to the WNBA. Hey, ladies. I ain't said that in a minute, so I had to get that in there real quick. Las Vegas Aces forward Asia Wilson. Y'all know I like to say her name like that. Is going to stay with the Aces for two more years. And y'all know I like the Aces. So I need them to win. I want to see Asia Wilson win a ring, man. And then every time I talk about the WNBA, y'all know what I gotta say. So here goes. I seen this thing on Twitter the other day. They was like, pick two teams that you want to bring back to the WNBA. So I was like, one, the San Antonio Shooting Stars. That's one team I would like to see. Shout out Becky Hammon. And then the other team is the hometown team, my favorite WNBA team ever, the Detroit Shock, three-time champs. Should have never went away to begin with, but definitely bring them back. Last season when it got down to the WNBA playoffs, I was like, I need the Aces or the Mercury to win. And neither of my teams won. And I was fine with the Mercury not winning because, you know, Diana, she got rings. So it's like, cool. But I need Asia Wilson to get a ring. I'm kind of looking forward to this WNBA season. Psych! I'm like really looking forward to this WNBA season. Becky Hammon coaching the Aces. Ooh-wee! Sue Bird gonna run it back one more time. Breanna Stewart said she gonna stay with her. Cause I thought she was about to dip on her girl. I'm like, dang, how you gonna leave your vet like that during her last year? But she said she gonna stay. So I feel like the storylines are already ready to go for the WNBA season. Let's get this thing cracking, but we gotta wait a little while longer. And the WNBA actually just recently announced a $75 million capital raise, the largest ever for a women's sports property. Big news there. And then to continue the big news, ESPN recently announced the television ratings for the playoffs hit their highest mark since 2014, and that the regular season viewership was up 49% in 2021 compared to 2020. So y'all see what happens when y'all watch the games, better things happen for the WNBA. It's been an age-long debate about why don't the WNBA players get paid as much as the NBA players. Don't get it twisted. RJ agrees that WNBA players should be getting paid millions and whatnot. Because first of all, a good portion of them are mothers. You mean to tell me they popping out babies after all that they body just went through and they come back to the league? Crazy. The other part of it is they don't even get paid enough to the fact a lot of them gotta go overseas during the offseason to play in another league to make up some more money. You know what I'm saying? That's tragic, man. That's beyond ridiculous to me, but it's sad that it has to be that way. So yes, RJ agrees. WNBA players need more money. Not a debate there. Simple. But the problem I have is the same people who say that are the same ones who be not paying any attention. Now I get it for my people out in the Michigan area. We ain't got a team no more, so we ain't going to games like that anymore. Because I tell you what, when the Shock was here, I was going to games. Believe that. Yes, I was driving to Auburn Hills to go to games. But that's besides the point. I get it. We ain't got a team in the area to root for. Fine. But y'all can still show some love in the ratings by simply tuning into the games, buying merchandise, doing whatever needs to be done to help the revenue. It's not hard to do. If y'all could buy NBA gear, y'all could get WNBA gear. In fact, I just put on my list the other day, I'm gonna get a WNBA hoodie. Yeah, that orange Nike hood, I'm getting that because I want to. And then I want to support the WNBA. Plus, that hoodie's sweet. I ain't gonna lie to you, that hoodie's sweet. Y'all sleeping on it. Now I gotta talk about them Detroit Pistons. Y'all know that song, Breaking My Heart by Mint Condition? That's what the Pistons been doing to me lately. It's like, I was gonna try to sing it. That's why I paused there. I was gonna try to sing it, but I'm not. The bottom line is a part of the song that says, breaking my heart, got me crying all inside. That's how the Pistons be having me every single night. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the nights where something good happens, you like, yeah, then you best believe the next few games is about to be horrible. It's rare we pull off two good performances. Whether they win or lose, that's not the point. It's just, give me two tight games in a row. It never happens. And it hurts. Just the other night, I was at LCA for the Pistons game. And it's sad because I get it. It's a Tuesday night and the team they playing is the Pelicans. Fine. But this arena was empty, man. I mean, empty. So it's like, I just can't wait for the days for LCA to rot like how the Palace used to. Because we all know, everyone who went to the Palace will tell you, that place would rock. And I'm tired of, you know, the people at LCA complaining about, oh, it's because it's a new arena. People are walking the concourse, checking out the different sites that the arena has to offer and the bars and the rest of it. This arena been open 5 years, y'all. I don't think that's the excuse anymore. Maybe it's just me, because I've been there enough times to the point like, okay, it's a nice arena and all, but I ain't got to walk around and look at stuff no more. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I'm kind of getting tired of that excuse, because I just don't see how that's the excuse anymore. I get it. The team is sorry. That's the real excuse. But that's why the team got to pull it together so we can get the fans. And I mean, we talking Detroit fans too. Auburn Hills fans. Don't get it twisted. Great fans. But it's something about that city fan base. Like, you see it with the Lions. Boy, do we see it with the Lions. Even the Tigers. Red Wings at the Joe. You know, shoot, even the Red Wings at LCA now. Like, I'll be watching their games sometimes, and LCA be jumping. It's like the Pistons the only one who can't get it jumping. And that's a shame. And so I'm thinking to myself, changing gears, but staying on the Pistons. Jeremy Grant might be gone by the next episode. And I've said this before. Jeremy Grant is the type of player where if he's the Jerry Stackhouse of this team, fine. But if they want to keep him, fine. I'm fine with that too. I say if you're going to trade him, just make sure you get something real good in return that's like you can't refuse. But don't force the trade him just to get something, you know, another asset. Like, I wouldn't force a trade, no. But yeah, I really do feel like there's a scenario where Jeremy Grant's not on this team when this team is contending. Like, back to the Jerry Stackhouse thing. Jerry Stackhouse was a player who got you 20 a game. He was the Pistons' leading scorer for a short period of time, you know, them Teal era days. And so when it was time to finally build that team where we want to win, he was traded. And a part of that trade got us Rip Hamilton, who ended up being a key factor in that Pistons run we had during the mid-2000s. I can see Jeremy Grant being that Jerry Stackhouse. Like, right now, Pistons going through some rough years, but he's the leading scorer. He's getting us 20 a game. If you could flip him into a player that gets us that oomph that we need to contend, who gonna complain? Give me one person who gonna complain after they see the results, that is, because we do gotta see the results first. Going back to how I was at the game the other night, you know, I had a friend text me like, yo, how was the Pistons game? I'm like, ah, they lost. It was a good game. It was fun getting out, but they lost. And then Cade got hurt, so it was like, ugh. And like, dang, Cade always hurt. And it started to hit me. Dang, Cade do always be hurt. At least that's what it feels like. Now, I do get it. He's the rookie. He's your future franchise player. You're trying to keep him safe, protected. Fine. But at the same time, I'd be like, is he really getting hurt that much? Or are they just being careful? Like, which one is it? I want to know. That's why I try not to panic too much when he does get hurt. Because I'm like, at the end of the day, they probably are just being cautious. But the other side of me, you know, we all got that inner fan in us that worries too much about things that shouldn't be worried about. So that's how I feel. But speaking of Cade, not only did Cade win Rookie of the Month for the month of January, but he got named to the Rising Stars team for All-Star Weekend. You know, the rookies and sophomores, along with his teammates Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart. My boy Killian Hayes was snubbed. I hope y'all peep the sarcasm there. I ain't gonna get on Killian today. I ain't gonna do it, because that would be wrong of me. But I don't like about this Rising Stars thing is that Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart on one team. Of course, the team represented by Pistons, best Piston ever, Isaiah Thomas. And Cade got to be on the other team with Rick Barry. I don't like that. I really don't. And then I'm like, shoot, we got three Pistons in the Rising Stars game, and this game in Cleveland. Shout out Bone Thugs and Harmony. My girl Tasha said Cleveland in the house. But, you know, Cleveland about 2.5 hours from, you know, where I'm at. So I'm like, man, I don't know. Do I want to go to All-Star Weekend? And I looked up the All-Star Game tickets. I'm like, all right, maybe All-Star Saturday night. Then I start looking at the Saturday night tickets. And I'm like, all right, it might come down to the celebrity game or the rookie game. But bottom line, I want to get in there. But considering it's like 2 weeks out and I have no plans, I don't think I'm going to get in there. But it's all good. I'm going to watch from the couch per usual and enjoy seeing some Piston representation. Because I feel like ever since, you know, our mid-2000s run with that great team, we just have not had any representation in the All-Star game or All-Star weekend period. So it's going to be a good sight to see. I'm looking forward to watching. And then you got that friendly competition between our boys. So, gotta look forward to that. Last topic. Main important topic. The Detroit Rams going to the Super Bowl. More on that in a second. But first, who y'all think, in all seriousness, who y'all think gonna win the Super Bowl? Is it gonna be the Cincinnati Bengals? Or is it gonna be the LA Rams? Who y'all think gonna win the Super Bowl? Go ahead, tell me. It doesn't matter who you think gonna win the Super Bowl. Shout out to The Rock. There's only one team I'm rolling with around here. That's the LA Rams. Obviously, gotta roll with Stafford. Gotta roll with Stafford. But I tell you what. I ain't gonna sleep on that boy Joe Burrow. I ain't gonna sleep on him. But I've heard so many back and forth about this whole Stafford leaving Detroit, going to the Rams thing. You got people talking about Stafford got a stack team, and you got people talking about this Stafford time. I'm gonna go ahead and throw in my two cents. Do Stafford got a stack team? Yes. But do he deserve it? Yes. You play with the Lions of Detroit for 13 seasons, then you tell me how you feel. That man ain't have to put up with us for 13 years, and he did. That man deserved every bit of the team he got right now. And I don't want to hear nothing about it. I know they got a freaking all-star team. I don't care. I watched that man go through it. He deserved better. He did. Every Lions fan had to admit that when it was time to decide what we was going to do with him, you had to come down to the point where you like, it's going to hurt to see him go, but he deserved better. And if you was the one who not hurting to see him go, you like, he the problem. You see what happens when you do put a nice team around him. He just got to do enough to win you games. Simple. Let's not act like in the NFC divisional game, he ain't make the big time play to get the Rams the win against the quote unquote GOAT Tom Brady. Side note, I don't know if I ever said this on here, but I'm really not a fan of Tom Brady. I always felt like he got lucky, but I ain't gonna get into that because I know how people feel about him. That could start a war and a whole 30-minute debate. But I will say, that man been playing football before I was born. Anyone to give 20 years to a game, 22 years to be exact, I ain't gonna lie, you gonna have my respect. So I do respect Tom Brady in that aspect, but that's probably where it's going to end. He got them 7 rings. I'll give him some of them, but that's also a good portion of them. I'm like, I don't want to give that ring to you again. I could do a whole episode on how I feel about Tom Brady, so I'm going to stop here. But Stafford, he got a nice team around him. He does what needs to be done. I'm just at the point like, why are y'all mad that this man is happy? Why are y'all mad that he's succeeding? Like, are y'all that big of haters? Now, don't say I'm a hypocrite because I'm just being a hater against Tom Brady, because them is two different things. This Super Bowl is for Detroit. It's for us Lions fans. I don't want to hear it because, honestly, we got more fans, you know, rooting for Stafford in Detroit than he does for his own team in L.A. right now. L.A. don't care about the Rams. Have y'all not seen their games? The stadium be divided between the other team fans. I already made it known. Rams win the Super Bowl, better yet, Stafford win the Super Bowl, I want a parade on Woodward, a Stafford parade. Because somebody made the joke on Twitter, and it's not even a joke because it's honestly true. This the closest the Lions getting to a Super Bowl. The fact Stafford playing in it, that's one piece. The fact Eminem performing at halftime, that's the other piece. This really is the closest the Lions getting to the Super Bowl, the city of Detroit getting to the Super Bowl. So we need the Rams to win. So when I say Detroit Rams, I mean that jump. Last thing, another reason why I want the Rams to win, because I feel like the Rams winning will be the end of the curse of why the Lions ain't even been to a Super Bowl, let alone won a playoff game in 30 years, which we now officially have the longest drought in NFL history. But I don't want to get too depressed now. But I do really think this might be the end of the curse. If it's not this, then it's going to have to come down to the fourth selling the team. Both need to happen, but hear me out, y'all. If y'all don't know the curse by now, here it goes. You had Lions player Bobby Lane. He got traded from the Lions in 1958. He said the Lions will not win for 50 years. And it's true, because the Lions have not won since, right? If he said 50 years, the curse was supposed to end in 2008. Remember, that was the year we went 0-16, and then we drafted Stafford. So, it's like, okay, if it was supposed to end then and it didn't, what now? The Lions have had a tendency of doing their players wrong, though. Players traded like Darius Slay, for example. Players who end up retiring like Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson in their primes, right? Wasting their careers. So the Lions finally did good by one player. That player that we drafted in 2008, Matthew Stafford, with that number one pick. So I feel like everything is going to come together in the universe way and just, I don't know. Y'all, maybe y'all understand where I'm going with it, but do you feel what I'm trying to say here? Maybe something with this little storyline might match up, work out, and the Lions can finally get past this curse. Because like I said, this don't work. If we ain't won a playoff game by the next 5 years after this, then Fords, I'm not going to say what I want to say because I don't know who's listening. And this might come back and bite me. So I'm going to stop there. But I don't know what to do at this point, man. I'm going to hope that the Rams win. So maybe something good can happen. We'll know by next episode. To the next episode. Yay, 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 yay. Hold up. Before I end the episode, I gotta say how this is about to be the greatest Super Bowl halftime show of all time. And it haven't even happened yet. Michael Jackson is my favorite artist of all time, hands down. But this Super Bowl halftime got five heavy hitters, all that I love their music. Kendrick Lamar, love his music. Snoop Dogg, my favorite rapper of all time. Eminem. Mary J. Blige, y'all. I love Mary J. Blige. Love her music. And then you got Dr. Dre, just a GOAT himself. All five in the same halftime show? It's already the greatest show of all time. If somebody said, I know that's how it usually goes, where like you got people who don't watch football as much and they say that the halftime show is the part they're looking to the most when it comes to the Super Bowl, and usually I get mad at that, like, bro, why are you even watching the game? Halftime is 15 minutes. Like, come on now. But this is 1 year I'll give you a pass if you said that's what you're looking forward to the most because of the fact, like, dog, it's just, it's too much royalty, like, in one show. And I can't wait for it. Like, every song they play, I'm going to be going crazy to, because I promise you, every single song, I'm going to love it. They don't have any misses between the five of them. So it's like, hey, let's get it cracking then. But don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is the same for both accounts at RJ_Hunt36. Send me a friend request on Facebook at RJ Hunt. Thank you for listening. I hope you come back to hear more episodes. And if you can, please subscribe, leave a rating, and leave a review, please, because I love to hear the feedback. And if you love today's episode, send it to a friend. Now just remember to follow these words. Spread love. Keep your chest out. Hold your head up. Show off them pretty teeth. Don't you worry about a thing. Until next time, y'all be good out there. God bless you all. Peace!